It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue. Home to the country's first cannabis cafe. Now it's time for The Buzz.
All right, all right. Welcome to The Buzz. I'm Sean Tackey with my co-host Brandon Emmett.
Yo, yo, what up, Radio Land?
All right, welcome on. We have a special guest with us tonight, or today. We've got Christina Metz, who's our general manager at Good Titrations. Hey, Christina, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me.
Absolutely. We wanted to get you out there and get an introduction to everybody and let people know about you and hear about your life and how you got into the industry and stuff. So if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, how, you know, where you're from.
Well, I'm from Martin City, Montana. I think there's a population of maybe not even 1,000 people in that little town. It's a little drive-by town and next to West Glacier, Montana, some of the prettiest scenery aside from living in Alaska that you'll ever see, I'm sure. So definitely check it out if you can.
Is that what part of the state is that in? I know Montana's a big place.
Yeah, that's the northwest. So it's literally right outside the gates of West Glacier National Park.
Oh wow. Okay. Is anywhere near like Missoula or
it's a little ways away, from Missoula, but really close to Whitefish. I was actually born in the Whitefish Hospital. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The closest hospital is either Kalispell or Whitefish. Actually, I think Whitefish is the closest hospital.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So what brought you to Alaska?
Yeah. Well, how long were you in Montana for?
Off and on for most of my childhood. My dad's a truck driver, so, you know, he spent some time just driving truck up here. Then there was a time period where we drove truck down in the States again, and then, of course, Alaska has a way of bringing everybody back, so we're back here again. And I've been here pretty much ever since, I'd have to say my first year after high school. I did, you know, disappear for a little bit after high school. I think we all try to.
Right. Exactly. I had to disappear off to college.
I personally did not choose the college route. I always hated homework, and I did not feel like paying for homework. So I did not choose to go to college. I chose to get my education through life experiences. Which so far have worked out pretty well for me, I would say.
The school of hard knocks, as they would say.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That's right. I like those street smarts a little more than the book smarts. I'll save that for you.
How long ago was it then that you came to Alaska?
We moved up in 1990, in the middle of the 1990 blizzard.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's a fun time to turn the winter.
Like, yeah, my mom packed up the little station wagon that we had. I don't even remember what it was at the time. I remember having about 4 to 6 inches of room in the very back where we were like, Mom, can we just go lay down on all the stuff back there and look out the back window as we drove? And I remember as we pulled into Fairbanks, actually, on the old Rich there, my mom getting pulled over and getting a seatbelt ticket because kids didn't have a seatbelt on.
In the 90s.
In the 90s.
Welcome to Alaska.
Yep. Welcome to Alaska. Those kids need a seatbelt on. You're not in Montana no more. You know?
Sorry, they can't roll around in the car when you hit the brakes.
Yeah, so pretty much have been here ever since I was a little kid. So, I mean, Alaska really has been home more than Montana, but there's always that calling to go back there every now and then. My grandma, I believe, is going to be 84 this year. So,
Well, happy birthday! Oh, yeah. You know,
happy birthday, grandma.
84—that's impressive.
That is pretty impressive.
Yeah, my grandfather is going to turn 96 sometime this year, wow. Or just turn 95. So,
is your dad's dad and your mom's
my dad's dad?
Your dad's dad.
Yep.
Yeah.
My son actually has like his jersey number was 94 for hockey just this last little bit, and then for baseball this year it's 95. He just keeps going with grandpa's age.
that's awesome.
His jersey numbers. It's kind of funny.
That's great.
Cool.
But Christina, so came to Alaska. So then you obviously learned about Alaskan freedoms and stuff like that and people's personal privacy. So eventually you consumed cannabis.
Yep. You know, I was a 10-year-old kid that hung out with her cousins that were always 4 to 6 years older. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they were teenagers experimenting, I was that sidekick that got brought along with them. And
nice.
Then they thought it was super cool that they got their 10-year-old cousin high.
That's awesome. Yeah, look what we did.
Yeah, disclaimer. Yeah, we're here on The Buzz. We don't advocate for getting 10-year-olds high. But
we don't advocate for that, no. But people live their lives, and yeah. We're going to hear about it.
What's interesting, though, is that most of our guests that we've had, it's surprising how young a lot of people tried cannabis the first time they've tried it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the 80s and 90s were definitely completely different than what they are now. I definitely wouldn't want my almost 13-year-old daughter smoking. I'm like, right. No, you just stick to those snow machines and dirt bikes, and you need money to do that. Yeah. So don't waste money on drugs.
Yeah, I certainly try. Other than like stealing a bunch of wine at a wedding when I was real little and getting super sick and tripping my mom out big time. I'd certainly tried cannabis before. Alcohol was one of those things that was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. No, yeah. For me, it was definitely an alcohol trying thing first before it was cannabis, because my parents, you know, they threw keggers and stuff for their birthday parties and things like that. So everything was like, hey, the alcohol is always around. But I had it punched into my brain that, you know, the DARE program and you can't do drugs and stuff. And so, like, for the longest time until I actually was, I was between 8th grade and 9th grade is when I did it. So I was like 13 years old when I first did it. But anyhow.
Yeah. So you're 10 years old, getting stoned with your cousins. So have you consumed since you were 10?
You know, obviously not on a regular basis at that age. I'd have to say I've really been consuming regularly, definitely probably from my freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
I definitely screwed off my freshman year of high school, which I can definitely say as an adult I regretted, because I had to work 3 times as hard my senior year to graduate on time. Didn't even get a senior year book photo because I was still only a junior at the beginning of my senior year.
Oh,
so.
Wow, that's horrible. Jeez.
I was like, oh, you guys should really actually check people's credits at the halfway mark, not the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But, definitely recommend don't screw off the freshman year. Save that for your senior year when you have the time to do it.
Like,
you know?
All the free periods and everything. That's exactly. Time to get stoned and skip classes.
That's it. I got no free periods my senior year.
Yeah, so. There was an obvious dip when I started consuming regularly in high school, and I had to like fight back to get my grades back up, because I was pursuing, you know, making sure I had a 4.0 or whatever, but I had to like get some A's and AP classes to pull it off because I dipped hard sophomore year.
My senior year in high school, I had an AP bio class that was through our ag, like, greenhouse program. I had senior English. And then other than that, I had PE and ag. Our school was like an ag school. And basically, and I wasn't even that great of a student, but I had completed pretty much all of the course load by my junior year. And so my senior year was actually really fun. I had to do that again. Senior English, I had that like independent study, like AP bio class. And then I basically like took care of sheep and a greenhouse and went to PE 3 times a day. I basically just stayed in the school because all my friends were there and I liked to wrestle.
So yeah, nice.
I didn't learn a whole lot my senior year.
Sounds
pretty, you know?
Laid back. I was pushing so hard.
Get yelled at by my English teacher because we'd go out and get trash in the parking lot, you know.
And then go run laps at PE. Yeah, like, what the heck? That's so horrible.
Yeah, when you're young, you can burn the stuff off a lot easier, yeah, you know. But we'd go to our English class, and there's this old man who would give us both like weed and Everclear.
Jeez.
And it's like the Green Dragon.
What a great old man.
Yeah. Right? And we'd drink that at lunch and then go and give our speeches or whatever in this English and like this oral intensive class. And the teacher would get so pissed. But
yeah.
Anyway, so
back
so
to Christina.
Christina. Yeah, back to Christina. So you, yeah, just making some filler here.
Right. No, yeah. So, yeah. So, you consumed cannabis since you're 10, obviously not all the time 10, but then regularly when you're a freshman in high school and onward. What did you do after high school? And then how did you get into the cannabis industry?
Okay, well, I definitely waited tables a lot when I graduated high school. I also worked at a convenience store, you know,
yeah.
Definitely much into customer service. I've always prided myself on my ability to give great customer service, so that's always nice. I tried to give the customer service that I would want to receive, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I serve tables too, so I know how, how hard that can be and how fun it can be.
Exactly. And then I've been with my husband for 20-something years now. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. He was my high school sweetheart. Not that we went to school together, but...
Shout out to Dale. He's pretty cool.
Shout out to Dale. Yeah. Dale is cool.
He is pretty rad. We got... They're planned on having our first kid back in like 2008 when we started our family. Had my daughter in 2009. Was still waiting tables at the Princess Hotel there for a while. And then I got the opportunity to be a stay-at-home mom for a long time.
Nice.
That was definitely probably the best and hardest years of my life.
That's why you got such great people management.
Dealing with kids. I definitely was like, quote unquote, that stay-at-home mom that brought on everybody else's kids, you know, to try and give them affordable daycare. So there was always other kids in the house, not just my own. And then when cannabis became legal for recreational sales in Alaska, I was like, you know what? This is the perfect time to get in the industry. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to start small, and I'm going to work my way up because I'm a hard worker, and I know I can.
Awesome. And, yeah, we met you not too long after Frank, Sean, and I had started Good Titrations, and I believe you came to us through a trimming company.
Yep, that would have been Big Leaf, Alaska.
Big Leaf, Alaska.
Yeah. Yep. Was shout out to John place? And Gracie. No, I had actually trimmed some cannabis in, I'd actually started with them, I think, in May, and I trimmed a lot of cannabis around town. I mean, before anywhere. That. Yep, before coming into your guys' shop.
But it was with Big Leaf that you started?
Oh, yeah, it was with Big Leaf that I started. I mean, I had, you know, my own quote unquote small grow at home, which was like just a couple of plants, you know. I was just learning myself. And so I was definitely interested in learning anything that I could in the industry when I started. And
nice.
And at the time, Big Leaf was looking for some managers and some leaders. And I was like, well, I definitely have that experience in waiting tables. And so, you know, I'm definitely your person for that. I was only with him for a couple of months before they promoted me to their assistant manager of the company. And I was then helping out with scheduling all of the different shops that needed to be serviced, you know, that needed help, whether it was packaging or trimming. And then shortly into that, that's when they were like, hey, I got these guys. They're a couple of friends of mine. They started this concentrate company and they need a packager.
Yeah, I remember that. Our old adage that we're going to package concentrates until our fingers bleed.
That didn't last.
Sean and Frank and I, like, yeah, we'd be like, we tried to make like a little party out of it, you know, and then. Like a game, like who could package the most, and then we'd be sitting there just staring at one another across the table, packaging this stuff, and we're like, "What the heck are we doing here? We need to expand this thing."
Those moments got pretty heated pretty quick. Oh, yeah.
I would always make fun of Frank, and he'd get so mad, like throw stuff at me.
basic thing: how did you count this wrong? Like everything would just
whenever so get bad. Our counts were off. Yeah, like, that would suck.
How did you count this wrong? And like, all right, I'm done. This is definitely the first place we're hiring an employee.
Yeah,
like I cannot do this.
Yeah. I remember following John over there. He got lost kind of on the way over there. And then we pull up, and you got Seth outside wearing his shorts and without a shirt, you know, loading some columns in the camera, but in the sunshine, you know. And then you see Emmett run right over to Seth and was like, dude, you got to put a shirt on. You know?
Yeah.
There's a girl here. We got to put a shirt on, you know. It's a workplace
kind of
fly
now. By night operation we run.
Yeah,
here.
I know.
Oh. Actually, I'm going to pause this right here. Yeah. We'll be right back after this break. But you've been listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live on KFARradio.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
More of The Buzz will continue right after this.
Since legalization, Good Titrations has been producing the finest products that you now enjoy legally, with products throughout the state of Alaska. Well, now Good Titrations has their own retail store right here in Fairbanks at 506 Merhar Avenue, just off the Johansson, a full cannabis retail shop, including products in flower, edible, and concentrate form, plus accessories and an impressive group of bud tenders that can help match the right product just for you. And coming soon, Fairbanks' first cannabis cafe, courtesy of Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue, online at goodtitrations.com. License number 10827.
Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older, keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
This message is brought to you by Good Titration.
License number 20827.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Now, back to the Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations.
All right, all right. Welcome back to the Buzz. I'm Sean Tackey, and the host with co-host Brandon Emmett.
Yo, yo, what up, Radio Land?
And here with our esteemed guest, Christina Metz.
Hey.
Hey, Christina.
Hey, Christina, the general manager of our lab. But we actually left you guys on the note that she just came over to be a packaging person, and her first experience was seeing our lab director at the time, shirtless outside, packaging stuff.
Yeah.
Take it from there.
Yeah, definitely some good times. So then I walk in, and, you know, you guys are kind of showing me the facility and showing me around, and then Frank looks over and John and goes, "You only brought one person. I need four."
That sounds like a classic Frank. Yeah. So, no, this was a meet and greet first part. Like, exactly. Chill out.
Yeah, he's like, "I want her to start right now. Like, I'm not packaging anymore ever."
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't blame him. I was like, done. So, like, for me personally, my least favorite tasks in the industry are trimming and packaging, but they're like one of the most important.
Required.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, it has to be, you know, done well, and has to be done efficiently. And I remember when I met John, it was because we had a need for trimming and packaging. We, you know, Frank and I got tired of trimming our harvests back, mm-hmm. in our personal use grow. And, you know, John and his people were super fast at it. And we're like, "Oh, wow, this makes getting our personal smoke finished way easier." And so it was kind of a no-brainer to have him bring you guys on. So, you know, tell us about your first day in the facility. I know that was back before we had air conditioning.
Yeah. That alone was.
And that alone was like one of the hottest summers that we had. As a matter of fact, my memory, it was 88 degrees 5 years ago today. We broke a record 5 years ago today. You know, we started 5 years ago. So,
yeah.
It was definitely a hot summer, no air conditioning in a little tiny room. Definitely, you know, we had to be shut in on both sides just because we didn't want cross contamination, you know, coming in or out of the lab or in and out of, you know, the office area. So,
/ column packing area.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like the definition
room,
of a sweatshop.
Office. Yeah,
it was everything in one right there.
Definitely everything in one. But no, it was, you know, it was a good time. We had, you know, three other of my crew kind of come over and help me package. And, you know, it took a little bit. You know, we were definitely really extremely nervous to begin with because we definitely felt like we were working with the gold of concentrate, you know, the gold of weed because it know, concentrated down. We were like, oh, my gosh, we know how much weed is going for. And we knew how much, you know, concentrates
we were
going
for at that time.
At the time, you know, because we were consumers ourselves and purchasing concentrates, you know, before we even got concentrates on the shelf as Good Titrations. And that was...
I think when the industry started, dabs for like what we would consider like B-grade dabs now, if that, were $75 a gram.
A gram. Wholesale. $75 to $90 a gram wholesale.
Yeah.
It
was,
yeah.
Stuff was going for like 100.
I remember that. It was
like more expensive than... some street drugs out there, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that was... a couple of jokes like, oh, man, I could go buy bleep cheaper than this stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, because I remember in, like, we started off with only, like, three of you guys, or four of you, you know, mm-hmm. you included, and three others. And then we had to add on to that, and we had, like, up to, like, what, 8 people or 10 people
I
in
think
that
at
little
one
room?
Point in time, yeah, we had up to, like, 10 or 12 people in that little tiny room at the peak of our... production before we expanded the facility.
AC free. Yeah. Without air conditioning. It was so bad.
I remember, I think one of the first things that really tipped me off that you were going to become a leader for us is when you came to me and like, Emmett, like you have to get air conditioning. Like I think the crew is going to mutiny you do not install an air conditioner. And I was like, oh, wow, Christina's like an advocate for these people. And she's right. This is absolutely
it is
miserable.
Unbearable.
Yeah. And so we got that AC unit in there, and it just changed everything. And it made packaging easier, too, because it turns out dabs melt at 85 degrees a lot of times. So.
It turns out they turn into soup. Yep.
Yeah.
It was the best mini split we bought.
That was the best. And, you know, that's continued to be the best one. That one is ran the
it's
best
always
this whole time.
On, yeah.
It's always on.
Quality. Yeah, absolutely. It saved us. I mean, we didn't last long in there because then things expanded and your role grew.
Yeah, it definitely did. You know, I was going to say about 6 months after I came into your facility, you know, we started out only a couple days a week. And then eventually that was 5 days a week. And then eventually, like you said, you know, it was 5 days a week with 10 or 12 of us in there. And as things started expanding, you know, you guys needed your actual quote-unquote at the time packaging manager, Frank, you know, you needed him out on the road making deliveries. Yeah. And so you guys were like, hey, you know, come on board with us. And at that point in time, I definitely couldn't resist.
At that point in time? All right.
I mean, I wouldn't resist
God, I
now.
Hooked you.
Right. We got Christina
we
early.
Got you in there, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so we got you in as a packaging manager.
Yeah, definitely got me in there as a packaging manager, you know, and...
ran a crew that we still had from outside.
Yep, ran the crew that we had from outside for about 9 months, I think, before we were like, okay, guys, let's just start bringing on people full-time with us. And then it took a little bit to cycle through packagers, you know, finding people's niches and their strengths, you know.
Yeah.
Moved a lot of those packagers up through our facility as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you think Kyle started out as?
Kyle started out as a packager.
A packager.
Yep.
Sarah started out as a packager as well. And now they're both in a leader management position. So.
Yep. Yeah. And then we finally got you roped in to be the general manager for the entire lab.
Yep, for the entire facility. As we were expanding and growing the retail, you guys obviously started getting busy on yourselves with that giant project, and so really needed somebody to be able to focus just on the lab itself and with my abilities to quickly learn. Aside from actually operating the equipment, I understand, you know, the processes from start to finish, and so being able to guide those that do understand how to operate the equipment as far as what needs to be done. And the order that it needs to be done, staying within my budgets, you know, for the different departments. And, things are going good.
Maybe expand on that transition from going to being a lead to being a manager. One of the things that we get asked a lot, people say, oh, I want to get into the industry. And I want to, you know, I want to move up and I want to advance. And, you know, it's actually, the cannabis industry is a lot tougher than people think. You know, there's not many people who can start out from the bottom and become a manager of a multimillion dollar facility. So tell us a little bit about how, you know, you approached that and really what you think it takes to be a leader in the industry.
I definitely believe that you got to, one, either be there 10 minutes early or 15 minutes early to be on time. Two, you got to make sure that you're dedicated and devoted to being there, not just for yourself and not for the company, but for your staff as well. That I think makes a huge difference in leadership, you know, not expecting somebody to do something that you wouldn't want to do yourself. And then just being capable of actually absorbing information and learning it and being able to not just absorb it, but also to teach it to somebody else too. You know, you can absorb a bunch of information, but you might not necessarily be a great teacher.
Right.
And so I think those are definitely some of my strong points. You know,
that's definitely a way to definitely know something though. As soon as you have to teach something, you know it front to back.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to. So you don't want to be, have someone say, oh, how do you do this? And be like,
Yeah, exactly. Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, being there and being dedicated and being able to actually learn, I think, are the key things. I have a great ability to get along with almost every personality. And so it's really helpful to be able to communicate with those different types of personalities and see things from other people's point of views and not just my own.
Yeah. So from your standpoint, now that you have been in this industry for a while and you've obviously had other experiences, what do you think would be like pros and cons of the marijuana industry, like being involved in it and like what's difficult, what's cool?
I want to say the fluctuation is probably the most difficult. You know, there's time periods where inputs are really easy to find, really affordable. And then there's been times where those inputs have been really hard to find and really expensive, and being able to balance that with my budget, you know, sometimes was difficult, but definitely learning to, like I said, communicate with those different types of personalities. I was able to work with some really close cultivators, and that really helped us out. And then,
what do you think the most fun part about the industry is?
Smoking weed on breaks.
We don't do that. Come on now.
Hell yes, we do.
nothing illegal about that. I just got to be 20 feet from the building.
That's right.
You know,
20 feet from the building.
No UAs at Good Titrations. That's for sure. You know.
Yeah, unless you are actually working the cafe, you're not allowed to smoke.
Yep.
No eating brownies on.
That's a fun story.
That's
a great
right.
story for another time. But
no, my favorite part is the people.
Yeah.
I'd have to say it's the people. Everybody, you know, for the most part, gets along. We all have a good time, and we try to make the best of our day regardless of whether we're busy or whether we're slow, regardless of what other outside factors or stressors that anybody has going on in their personal life. It seems like we all come to work, and we all have a great time while we're there. So
absolutely. That's awesome. Well, thanks, Christina, for coming to our show and being on the radio show with us today. It was definitely very fortunate to have you. Emmett has a little announcement to make about, okay, so if you guys have a license out there, license renewals, get your license renewal in, and you're running out of time.
So right at the, right down to the end here. So what's this? Yeah, so this is for anyone who is in the industry as an owner. So if you're a licensee. So this is from our paralegal. So friend and reminder, all renewal documents and fees must be submitted prior to June 30th to avoid the $1,000 late fee. So if you're a license holder in the industry yourself, or you have investors or whatever, make sure they...
And you're interested in renewing.
And you're interested in renewing. Yeah, that's another topic for another day.
That is a topic for another day.
Just make sure you get everything in by June 30th or AMCO will charge you $1,000 extra.
So. Per license.
Yep. PSA.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. You've been listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, streaming live on KFAR Radio. And if you want to listen to any of our past episodes, you can go to the archive section on KFARradio.com and listen to them there. Stick around for Dr. Looper with Health Talk after this.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Good Titrations. To listen to this episode or any past programs, simply go to the website and search the archives page. The Buzz has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.